I was in Anchorage last week, trying to get a sit-down with a doctor of mine. Well, that didn't happen, but more so to be there for support for my youngest daughter, who is recovering from a badly broken foot and leg. Last week, it was time for the pins to come out of her foot. If you've never seen such pins, picture something that could be used in a blow dart gun with very bad intentions. In fact, I suggested she give them a go as just that when we got home. While we were there, it snowed, and I don't just mean a few flakes falling and melting as soon as they hit. No, when we got up Monday morning, there was maybe 4 or 5 inches on the ground. Now, it may be that it will still melt, but it was there until we left town. That should come as no surprise, I guess. It is November. Wrap your mind around that. And snow is part and parcel with Alaska for this time of year. The question is, are we ready? And what does ready look like for the living things that call Alaska home? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. I like our winters. I like snow. I've never been shy about saying that. That said, I'm not at all ready, as far as my own yard and possessions are concerned. A part of that is some not-so-normal happenings in our household, such as my daughter's foot, and a lot of time in Anchorage to deal with. Another part of it is I've been a bit lazy with things based on what they're predicting for our winter. Frankly, as someone who likes snow, it has me a bit worried. The Climate Prediction Center, an arm of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has put out its fall and winter forecast for Alaska, and things are predicted to be warmer than normal. That's true for the whole state, to include us. According to Rick Toman, Climate, Science, and Services Manager for the National Weather Service, Alaska Region, there are a number of factors influencing this forecast, including a developing El Nino. The last time we dealt with an El Nino, we also had a winter that largely wasn't much of a winter. Sadly, it sounds possible that's going to be the case again. While I like snow and I like winter, I guess I've been moving a bit slow on preparation, because I know they're saying a second ice age isn't imminent in the very near future. Still, that's poor planning on my part, and I really do need to change that. Winters in Alaska are something that requires preparation from anything that either lives here or plans not to live here. For example, migratory birds are mostly gone by this point, recognizing there's a lot more food in warmer places. That's certainly one possible way to prepare. Pack up and leave. Some people do that as well. In my humble opinion, they sure do miss out on a lot, and I'm talking about positive, happy things. For those that stay, we need to be ready. Some stay but choose to sleep it off, and I'm not talking about teenagers. For example, Arctic ground squirrels sleep it off, often for long periods of time, depending upon the location and the severity of winter. It can begin as early as September or as late as the end of October, and they can come out of it as early as April or as late as May. They prepare sleeping chambers, sometimes as deep as 8 feet underground. These chambers are several inches in diameter and heavily lined with grasses. Although the chambers are insulated and the entrances are blocked with dirt, it's not like it stays warm down there. Winter temperatures within can still fall to well below 0 degrees. At the larger end of the size spectrum, bears do their version of Rip Van Winkle, too. It's kind of funny, really. Bears pursue and eat ground squirrels during the warmer months. Squirrels try deftly to avoid predators like bears. During the winter, they both sleep it off. Bears during hibernation undergo unique changes to cope with sleeping for those long periods of time. They don't need to eat or drink, and rarely urinate or defecate, if at all. They do eat a lot leading up to sleeping, consuming as much as 20,000 calories or more daily. During hibernation, a bear's heart rate drops from 98 beats per minute to about 10, and their rate of breathing slows to about half what it normally is. Their metabolism slows, and their digestive organs and kidneys almost completely shut down. Body temperature drops by 8 to 12 degrees, and fat stores that were added during those fall binge sessions are broken down for energy. While some protein is used, muscle mass is largely conserved. Bears usually do not become appreciably weaker during the hibernation period. While hibernating, they lose about 30% of their body weight. Put another way, what went in the fall as a 600-pound bear comes out in the spring at 420 pounds. Go ahead, try and top those results on something like Jenny Craig. For some animals, those that are awake all winter, it's a matter of shifting gears when it comes to eating. Take spruce grouse, for example. They live at large during the spring, summer, and fall months, eating flowers, leaves, berries, and the occasional insect. When it gets cold, and those are no longer options, changes take place for the winter menu. Food still needs to be had to maintain mass and energy. Spruce needles become the sole source of food. Within their body, the gizzard grows by about 75%, and other sections of the digestive tract increase in length by about 40% to accommodate the large numbers of spruce needles they consume. Other animals also have transitory diets. During the warmer months, moose are often found near water. Well, this is because those months their diet consists of a variety of foods, including sedges, horsetail, pondweeds, and grasses, as well as birch, willow, and aspen leaves. As we approach winter, that diet switches to what's on the house menu now, which is often more along the lines of willow, birch, and aspen twigs. Closer to where many of us live, we can lend a helping hand. I'm talking about bird feeders for those hardy species that are here for the whole year. Keeping and maintaining a bird feeder or feeders is a terrific low-cost, low-impact way to interact with wildlife. We keep a few at our house, and, in my humble opinion, it's well worth the time and small-dollar investment that goes into it. A feeder often attracts more birds to an area than natural food sources can support, and even though it's winter, it might surprise you at the number of species, and sheer numbers, period, that show up once they know there are free handouts to be had at your home. Keep in mind that once you begin feeding birds, you're making a commitment. If you decide, for whatever reason, to discontinue at some point during the winter, you may be handing out a bunch of death sentences. The birds might not be able to find enough food to survive otherwise. It's not quite the same responsibility as taking on a puppy or kitten, but it's something to keep in mind if you decide to go this route. If you plan a vacation, be sure to have someone come by to restock your feeder regularly while you are away. And then there's us, the people of Bristol Bay. Our winter proofing comes in many forms. For example, switching from summer to winter gear is an event in many homes. Rain gear can be put away in a tote, and winter parkas gotten out, as well as all the accessories that go with them. A reminder that, as always, non-cotton is the way to go, as cotton can actually be dangerous if it gets wet and you're caught in the cold. Consider relying on synthetics or wool as much as you are able. While I was in Anchorage, I picked up some new gloves, a wool acrylic mix on the outside with a fleece inside. They are long in the cuff and should work really well as my new gloves for when I have to fire up the ATV to plow snow. For me, and maybe for you as well, there's yard organization to consider. Let me provide a few examples I need to get busy with soon. I always consider how to store things in the yard, to where those things are out of the way and I have plenty of places to push snow once plowing commences. The placement of some items varies with the seasons. I have some building materials I need to move and cover, things that were supposed to get used this summer and didn't. I have a portable shed the girls keep their bikes and such in. Some years I take it down, if anticipating heavy snow, and other years I simply leave it up. This year is likely going to be a leave-it-up year. That also saves me needing to figure out where to place the bikes. I have some firewood that I cut that I'd like to be stacked somewhere else and covered. It's destined for a different location next year, not for use at the house. I need to winterize and put away the boat. At some point, in the not-too-distant future, maybe, I'll be getting out the snowgoes and getting them ready for another winter of use. My own snowgo needs a new back bumper. I picked one up on eBay a few weeks back and need to get it attached. Also, just in case we do get a crummy winter, especially to the start of it, I need to do normal periodic maintenance to the Argo in the event it's needed. I had mentioned the ATV for plowing. It's an old Honda, and I need to put in a new battery, tweak a few things with the electric, and make sure the winch cable is ready for another year. And those are just some of the things coming to mind right now. Again, some of you may have things of your own to attend to that are similar, Or maybe you're ahead of the game and ready to roll. Which brings to mind the popular book and TV series by George R.R. Martin, Game of Thrones. Winter is coming. Even if the Climate Prediction Center is saying it might be more bluster this year than reality. We don't have any White Walkers to deal with, unless you want to figure on cross-country skiers and snowshoers. And we don't have a wall, but it's still a pretty good idea to be prepared, just in case. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.